It's International Women's Day as we post this episode of The Sphere of Roach. And I had this conversation that I had with Ash from 2020, April-ish of 2020, that I was meaning to post as an episode of The Sphere of Roach, but I didn't want it to be on an island of no episodes 3 months before or after. So I kind of held on to it because I really, really enjoyed the conversation I had with Ash. And whether you know her or you are not as familiar with her music as maybe super fans are, think that you'll like it. And then the beauty of it is for today, International Women's Day, we had another conversation where we kind of caught up with each other and then talked about some other stuff as well. So this is two segments. First segment is my conversation from April 2020 with Ash. That was done over Instagram Live. So the quality is not what you are expecting or used to with The Sphere of Roach. And then our second conversation was today over Zoom as part of International Women's Day. So I thought it would be fun for you to hear us 1 year apart speaking with each other about a number of fun and also interesting things. I love Ash as a person. She's just she's got a great personality and is a great conversationalist and is so, so very funny. She says, and I said this at the end of this episode, that she's one of my favorite people to talk to in the business because of all those qualities. So hopefully you enjoy this as well.
Welcome to the Sphere, of Roach.
Hello, Miss Ash.
Hello, oh. How are you?
My name is Roach from DC 101. There's the radio station right there. So it's very nice to talk to you. I caught you mid-sip.
Oh, you did? It always takes a second. It like previews your face. And so I'm always like, okay.
I'm in. All right. And we're ready to go. And then...
And pose. Oh my gosh, you just caught me. It's just a really sincere moment. So funny.
Are you drinking the tea? Like literally drinking the tea?
It's not the Kool-Aid, I'll tell you that much. It's coffee.
Oh, okay.
I'm a savage when it comes to coffee. This is my second cup of probably six today.
Over the course of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
so weird. I had sushi for breakfast, man. I don't know what is happening. Today is a weird day. I'm in a mood.
Fresh sushi? Hopefully.
Well, I had it for dinner last night and I had some leftover.
That's a dicey proposition, Ash. That's dicey.
Is that gross? No.
It's not gross. It's just dicey. It's very, you know what it is? It's very college sophomore bro of you. Sushi? Bring it on.
You can't waste sushi, though, because that stuff is expensive.
It's a balancing act because you can't waste it. But if you try a little after the fact,
it's fine. It was in there for like 10 hours. It's fine.
All right.
Just wash it down with some coffee.
Some coffee and we're good to go. Coffee will kill everything going on down there.
Yeah, everything's going to be good.
I hope to ask you questions just as you're sipping so that every time I'm done, you're like, sorry. Hello.
It's a tactic so that I can think before I open my mouth.
All right. Well, I hope I'm going to try not to keep you very long because the way you are taking sips, you're going to have to make a run to the bathroom at some point.
Yeah, don't keep me too long. This interview is shaping up very interestingly.
Well, you know, that's how we try to do. I don't know how many I've been trying to look up some of your past chats. I feel like this is the way everybody's talking now. So all of your conversations are now up on the internet forever for some reason. How many rock radio chats have you done?
I'm honestly not that many. Yeah, I feel like it's funny, you can tell what kind of station you're talking to based on the vibe of the interview, because if it's like real top 40, it's pretty like, you know, what are you watching on TV right now in quarantine, which is totally fine. And then if it's like alt radio, they're like, what is good?
What are you doing? How are you spending your time?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to love it.
I'm not going to be asking you any Lizzo questions. I apologize in advance. I don't.
Why not?
Just giving you a heads up. I don't have a lot in my sheets about Lizzo here.
Well, who you got in your sheets? Oh,
I have AJR in my sheet. I have AJR in my sheets.
Oh.
In my sheets.
In my sheets.
In my sheets.
This is a good interview. I like this one.
Yeah, thank you. I do have AJR, but I don't want to start with them. Because okay. I want to start in another place, if that's okay with you.
Let's go there.
It's the Pet Sounds live stream. I mean, I don't know if there's anywhere else that we can start there other than there. Can we?
It's a good spot.
Really? Like it's really, yeah. Like it was. I don't know if you've discussed this, but how did Ash end up being the one to lead the charge to celebrate Pet Sounds 60th anniversary?
I don't know. No one else was stepping up to do it. So I was
Ash is doing it. I'm just kidding.
I better do it. I was kind of like, well, so Pet Sounds is one of my favorite albums of all times. It's like Carole King's Tapestry, Rubber Soul, and Pet Sounds. And so I knew the anniversary was coming up. I wanted to release a single, or I was thinking about, I was like, I want to release or do something on that mm-hmm. day. And then, you know, moral of the story is doing its things. We're like, you know what? Let's just keep focusing on moral of the story.
Let's not get in the way of that.
Yeah. But I was like, man, I love that album so much. And I didn't see anybody else sort of like stepping up or announcing anything. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to honor my favorite album the best way I can. And so, I just started texting a bunch of my friends and like DMing the artist that I knew and yep. was like, this is weird. I made a Google Doc because I'm a freaking old lady and was like described all the, you know, this is what it'll be. And here's the YouTube channel reach. And it's going to be great. And it was a total hit. It was awesome.
It looked absolutely amazing. I just like love that you get a contact list flex on the, you know what? I'm just going to hit up some people on my phone. Oh, hey, Phineas. Oh, what's up, AJR? Oh, I just know Bishop Briggs. It's fine. It's all good.
Well, I do.
Wait, I mean, I got to flex if it's true.
I'll flex. Yeah. I mean, they're good friends, but they're also just like, I knew they were going to be, I had friends that would have been like, you know, cool to be on the lineup, but they don't like Pet Sounds.
Had to get somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. I picked everyone that I picked, I knew loved the record. So I wanted it to make it not just like, look at the famous people I know, but look at how important this record is to all of us, you know?
Now I have visions of you as you meet people, in the music industry, saying, hello, how are you? My name is Ash. Do you like Pet Sounds? All right. And then you put it in like a little note next to their name in your phone. They like Pet Sounds. We're good. If I need them later on, I can pull them back in because I've asked that question.
That's so funny. I should actually do that and do it for Tapestry because next February is like the 50th, I think, mm-hmm. anniversary of Tapestry. So I think I gotta do that. I gotta get artists to tell me if they love it or not.
Just say I've got a list of questions that Roach asked me to ask you, and it is it involves Carole King and it involves the Beatles. And
do you eat sushi for breakfast?
Do you drink six cups of coffee a day?
Yeah.
Do you like Tapestry?
And if so, we can be friends.
We gotta do it. Do you feel like any? Because I love the idea of you releasing a song, and I'm assuming you were thinking about covering a song and releasing it as a single. And I think it's an awesome idea because, I mean, Pet Sounds predates a lot of people under 60 as far as their knowledge of music. So mm-hmm. in a way, you would bring Pet Sounds to the masses in this 2021-ish kind of time, which would be awesome to introduce your fans to that music.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's sort of what was my hope and all of our fan bases was like, if we can introduce, maybe a lot of people already know this album, but if we can introduce our fan bases that are, you know, 12 to 30 that just have never dug into this album, I read somewhere that Paul McCartney said it was, you're not properly musically educated until you've listened to Pet Sounds. And I was like, well, if Paul McCartney says it, then I should probably get behind him.
I'm in. I can do it. It's fine. By the way, no pressure, but you just told everyone that you're recovering a Beach Boys song and introducing them to a new generation. So, I mean, you run with that. You run. That's a bigger flex in your contact list of who's going to play on this.
That's awesome. I'll just keep this up.
Just keep doing that. But I love the idea because I'm a huge, my mom is a huge Beatles fan, and obviously listening to the Beatles growing up, Rubber Soul was my favorite Beatles album as well. So I'm totally feeling you on that. And I think a lot of people think of like the Beatles have this timelessness about them. And I mm-hmm. feel like the Beach Boys don't get that kind of label as timeless. There's a respect mm-hmm. factor, but they don't get that label of, hey, you know what? They were making innovative music because the people think of the surf music and that's it. So it's uh-huh. awesome that that you kind of did the live stream and that you also have this plan to go, hey, you know what? Beach Boys, pretty freaking timeless.
So timeless. I mean, God Only Knows is one of the best records of all time. And I agree. I think people think of the surf records just because they were so like, in your face when they exactly. first came out, they were top of the charts, broke all these records. And the Beatles had the same moment, like with I Want to Hold Your Hand was like super like, dee, dee, yep. dee, 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 dee. Yeah. Like
boy band.
Way more. It's like One Direction
yep.
In the 1960s.
Absolutely.
So I think the Beach Boy or the Beatles kind of had a similar moment, but then they released like, album after album after album of weirdness. And I think the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson kind of, they only did, Pet Sounds was kind of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm stacking up on the things that I want to ask you now, because we've got a lot that we need to discuss.
I'm sorry. I know I ramble. So
no much. Way. But you're opening up different things in my brain, which is the thing that I love about a conversation. So the last thing I want to ask you about the live stream is this something you would have done if the quarantine pandemic didn't happen?
I don't think it could have been done without the pandemic. And just the fact that everyone's home.
Yes.
So someone like Phineas would have been deep in tour with Billy. And I'm sure as much as he would have, wanted to do it, he wouldn't have had the time. I mean, AJR... Mm-hmm. would have been prepping for their tour, which I was supposed to be opening for. I mean, mm-hmm. all of us, I would have been on a radio promo tour across the United States.
Yep.
So I don't know how I could have done it. So I think it was, I was like, it was a blessing and a privilege, I think, to be able to put it together. And yeah, I'm really hopeful that next year I could do something like that for Tapestry, but I'm like, well, if we're not in a pandemic, I don't know how to.
Well, but here's the thing. Pre all this, we didn't know that something like this was something that we could do. And you didn't know that a live stream, like you didn't even think about doing a live stream before because it wasn't on anybody's radar. But if you think about it, next year, if you want to do Tapestry and bring your favorite artist in, you just need to everybody be at a webcam at a certain time rather than everybody right. having to get together.
That's true. I think we can pull it off.
I'm planting seeds for you. That's all. Just planting seeds.
All right. You're going to take credit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm hoping that you on stage every time. Got to thank Roach again for putting this Tapestry thing together. Got to thank Roach. Got
to
thank Roach.
This really takes me back to May 27th or whatever it is of 2020 when I had a interview from Roach,
Uh-huh. Yeah, but just, you know what? But you don't have to do it every time, but just mention it once in a while.
All right.
Also, I want to shout out, this is the mic that you used, not this actual mic, but exactly.
The Shure shout SM7B?
7B? Shout us out.
Sure, sponsor us.
We're SM7B mates, Ash. We both aww. use the same mic.
It's so good.
It's a great, it's great. It's so warm and inviting, which is the reason
I'm like radio voice, it's good. It's, and for like exactly. demoing out stuff. Yeah, I agree.
I know you have it in your contact list of who likes pet sounds. Also, if I ever make it in your contact list, just put SM7B mate, and that's it.
SM7B mate. I love that. Yeah, you making some bedroom pop hits over there?
No, I'm doing my radio program over here, which is not nearly as creative.
Less
but
cool.
It's,
less cool.
Yeah. Exactly. It's amazing. Can we talk radio for a couple of minutes? Because I have you in my head, and please blow holes in this theory. I have you in my head as kind of an old soul.
Well, I mean, I would probably go with that.
Right?
Yeah.
I would say
I mean, people call me an old soul. I just call myself an old lady. I go to bed at like 9. I'm up at 5 a.m. every morning, just like writing down my thoughts. I would say that. But I feel like people who call themselves old souls are not.
Well, that you can't confirm. Yeah, if you're an old soul, I feel like you're like, yeah, we get it. You like older music. You think, got it. Cool. Perfect. Stop
I
bragging.
Like old people better than young. No.
Old people rock is all
old
I'm saying.
Old people know how to rock harder.
Well, the reason I ask you about your old ladiness. See, I switched it. Now you're not old soul anymore. Your old ladiness. The reason I ask you is because, you know, you mentioned radio. There's that awesome video that you posted about you hearing your song on our sister station, Alt 98.7, out in L.A., hearing Moral of the Story for the first time. And, like, I really feel like you still get radio and what it is and what it means. So I wanted to ask you, as a radio person, what does radio mean to you? And specifically, to get it away from the pop, pop radio is one thing, alt rock radio is another thing. What is being able to kind of merge those two kind of formats and be on both of those kind of genre stations? What does that mean to you?
Oh man. Oh, loaded. I mean, I think that as a kid, for me growing up, you know, I drove around in the car and that's what my mom had on, my parents had on. And so I grew up in the Bay Area. I was listening to alt radio and I never in a million years thought that one day when I grow up, I'm going to be a music artist. I'm going to release a song and it's going to be on here. And some little kid just like me is going to be in the back seat listening while their parents are driving. And so, yeah, I mean, it means the world to me, especially, you know, AJR, Jack from AJR, he specifically told me, he's like, you will see a direct correlation in ticket sales from alt radio play in particular. He's like, those fans are diehards and they love music and they'll support music. So they'll show up. And I was like, well, I can't test the theory because I can't leave my house anytime soon. But I was like, wow, that's powerful. And I think maybe my generation has maybe sometimes lost sight of how important radio is in, you know, a music artist career. But man, when you are sitting in your car and your song comes on, I lost it. It was a totally like out of body experience for me. And I care so much. Like there's some really cool kids in the music industry that I just don't know how they pull off. Like they'll just be like, yeah, my song's on the radio.
Got
I'll
it.
Be like, how? I'm physically crying listening to this. How, maybe you're just like, maybe you are cool and you are cool. I tweeted the other day, I'm not cool enough to act like I don't care. I care so much.
I care. I wish I didn't care, but I care.
I care. And then the note about like between pop and alt and crossing over, I think it's only possible with records that are really, really vulnerable, because the ones I've seen cross over to the other side,
yep.
Or both sides, are records that are really, really raw and vulnerable. Songs like the 1975's put out, Lewis Capaldi's done it, I think.
He has.
I mean, those are vulnerable records. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that could be the secret sauce, but what do I know?
You know, it's the randomness of radio that I think got you as emotional as you did in that video. And I think I talked to Shade is from the DC area, so I've spoken with them a lot. And the vibe that I get is, look, you can put a playlist together, or you can open Spotify and play Moral of the Story, but that's you doing it. When you're driving around your car and it's like, wait a second, that just happened. You didn't have any control over it. You didn't know what's happening. You didn't cue it up. It just randomly happened. And that's what triggers that whole, oh man.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Thank you. Thank you, Ash. Thank you.
I think that's a really, really good point. And it does make you feel like, it's like the radio gods have placed their hand upon your song, and it is in the world.
Let you in.
Yeah, the Red Sea has been parted, and your music is now played on the radio. It does feel like a very, like massive step in your career, in my career. I keep saying your Roach. This is a big step for you, buddy.
As an SM7B mate, it's a big step in our career. We're together.
Yeah, we are in this together, truly. Oh, man.
Well, it was like, I just keep going back to that video because it was really raw and it was really real, which to me feels like, and you mentioned this in your answer, if that feels like the reason why I think rock radio is kind of holding on to Moral of the Story, because it feels real, and is, you know, there's no auto tune. Wait, is there auto tune?
Hell no.
It's just a raw sounding song, and it's like that's where the connection is formed right there.
When a producer puts, because it's pretty like industry standard to, once you do a vocal take, a producer will just naturally throw on autotune
without even asking.
Yeah,
like, this is what we do, so we're putting it on here.
Yeah, it's just sort of what you do, and it's such an industry standard, and it's not really like a right or wrong thing. It's just normal.
It's what we do.
So yeah, and so I immediately, as soon as I get out of the vocal booth, whoever I'm working with, if they've not worked with me before, I'll be like, you can't, don't you dare.
Don't touch that.
Don't you dare put autotune on this. I'll freak out.
They're like this, step away from the knob. Step away from the knob.
You know, and for me, it's not because I'm like, I want to be pure and raw. Like, it's not so much the like hipster, like in vocal integrity thing. It's just that I slur my words and do a lot of like these like vocal slides and vibratos that auto tune messes up.
Oh,
so it's more so just the way I sing. Auto tune doesn't like click with my voice very well.
That's I don't know about that answer.
It's true.
I'm not sure about that. You know what? It's just auto tune doesn't work on my vocal style. I love that. Oh, look at the face. I just look, it works for a lot of people, it just doesn't work for me and my voice.
True. I'll give you, one day I will sit you down and I will show you,
this is an autotune version of an Ash song, and I'll go, ooh, she's right, it doesn't work for her vocals.
She sounds bad with autotune. You'll see.
She's the anti-autotune voice. That's what you are.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to die on this cross, aren't I?
Yep.
Shoot. Yep. If I ever put autotune in a song, people will eat me alive.
Does anybody remember when she said she'd never do that?
And now, you know what it is? Like,
Now she's all auto-tune. What's going on? Although, I'll give you the spin. I'm going to walk you out of this, okay? Here we go, Ash. You just go, remember when Dylan plugged in? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Dylan plugged in, and everybody was like, Bob Dylan. Because remember, he was all acoustic, and then that big whole stink came out because he released an album of Electric, and everybody was like, he can't do that. He's an acoustic songwriter. And then everybody was like, wait a second, he's still a genius, even with the Electric. And that'll be you, Ash.
With auto-tune?
with auto. I mean, it's a little bit, the stakes are a little bit lower.
So cool.
The stakes are a little lower, but it's the same thing.
Oh my God, I love this interview so much.
I have to ask you, because, you know, we talked about how you're an old lady. But I wanted to ask you about how you release your music, because that's not an old lady sort of way. You are big on EPs rather than LPs, I guess, to use an old lady term. And I was curious to kind of get into your headspace as to why you choose to release your music that way. Moral of the story, the EP, which is kind of an album, if you put it together, could have been an album, but you chose to go chapter one and chapter two. And I know Hayley Williams has just finished up doing the same thing with Pedals for Armor. What's the mindset in releasing music that way?
Oh, no one's ever asked me that before.
This is the best interview ever, if I could just say that.
Favorite interview ever. Okay, I love this question. No one has asked me before. I strategically have wanted to save the moment of releasing a full-length album. I just felt like I'd know when it was time, and I wanted to save it for me, and B, moral of the story, I wanted to break it up into these smaller digestible chunks. So instead of being like, here's a whole thing for you to focus on of all these different songs, I think it's 8 total. I should know.
Is it 8? I think
it's 4 and 4.
I think it's 4 and 4 too, yeah.
I really should know this. But it was easier for, at least I thought for my fan base, it would be easier for them to digest and focus on here's part one of my story, going through my divorce and all of that insanity, and here's kind of part two of me coming out of it. So that's a little bit of it. And also, we live in you know, like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I live in 2020. You know, I'm not. Yeah. I can release the weird ass music that I want to, but I'm still going to play enough by the rules that people hear the music. You know. Yeah. So that's it. It's a little bit of, I'm navigating how to be
both
old lady in an era. Yeah. In this era. So yeah. Does that kind of answer the question?
And no, it's a perfect answer because that's kind of what I was thinking, because the EP allows you to straddle that line of, hey, here's not just one song, here's some songs, but I'm also doing it in a modern way where it's, I know people are going to, I don't want people to just chew up my 8 songs in a month and then go, where's the rest of the, I need new music. So you were able to do that with the separation. Was it 4 or 5 months separation where it's like, let me go all in on these 4 songs. And then in 4 months, I got a great surprise. I got another 4 songs to consume.
Yeah. It felt like people didn't know it was coming. We labeled it chapter one.
Yes.
It was like,
people knew.
People,
yeah.
People are like, there's probably a chapter 2 coming, you know?
And if you let the people do it, they'll drink 6 cup of coffee in a day, which isn't good for them. So, you know, give them 3 cups on one day.
Empty.
Boy, that means the bathroom break's coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Wrap this up, Roach. Just kidding. Man, but this would be so fun if we were just at like a pub hanging out next time.
Which, you know, that leads me to kind of my last thing. You had your birthday during this whole thing. gotta feel like the lamest time to have a birthday party ever. I mean, I don't know. Like, at least it wasn't really like a milestone birthday. Like, you didn't turn 21 and you couldn't go to the bar because the bars were closed. But I would imagine that quarantine birthday kind of probably sucks. Am I wrong?
Not if you are introverted and you don't want to go out anyways.
That's a meme.
I've always gone out for my birthday and always try to hold like some, there's this place called Good Times at Davy Wayne's here in Los Angeles. And it's like literally a 70s bar. And I've had my birthday there before, but what I find is I'm such a one-on-one. This is my bread and butter right here. But in a big crowd of people, unless I'm the only one talking on stage, yes. I feel like I'm letting everyone else down that I'm not directly talking to, because everyone wants to connect. And so I end up having half conversations for 2 or 3 minutes with everybody and doesn't feel very meaningful in the end. So I'm kind of more of a fan of like one-on-one. So I think this birthday was actually, I had a Zoom call. I had 4 people on my Zoom. My boyfriend was next to me, and I had Phineas and his girlfriend, Claudia, and my friend Quinn92, Mike, mm-hmm. and his wife. And that was it. And we all just sat there and talked on my birthday. And it was just like, we were on there for like an hour and just had like great conversations and what we were going to name our kids one day. And it was just so much better than a birthday party, honestly.
So you enjoyed the birthday quarantine?
I loved it. It was one of my favorite birthdays.
Do you want to drop the kid's name just to have it on record? Or are you nervous that you might not want to stick to it?
No, but we totally gave Mike so much. Can I say?
You can say shit. I said fuck earlier. Shit. It's the first time I've ever cursed on one of these things, and you brought it out of me. So I guess the gloves are off for this. So thanks,
You're
Ash.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. I bring out the best people.
Okay.
We're giving Mike so much shit because he was genuinely talking about, and he will laugh about this too, so it's okay if I say this, but he was genuinely talking about naming his son Mike Jr. And Phineas and I were just like, you can't name your kid Mike if your name's Mike. It's too
Agreed.
Generic. You
Agreed.
Have to like it. If your name is like Chronicle or like Phineas, for example, could maybe get away with naming him his next kid, his first kid after Phineas. But
that'd be cool.
Anyways, Mike. we gave him so much shit for that, and now he will not name his kid Mike Jr. We bullied him out of
it. You're welcome. You're welcome for talking you out of that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And his wife was like,
it's like
he's gonna kill me if he watches this interview.
So you don't want to give your kid's name. All right, I get it. It's you don't want to jinx
No,
anything.
I don't know. I don't have a name. I've thought about this so much. I have no favorites. Give me common baby names that I should name my kid one day.
That would be Mike, what if you named your kid Mike Jr.? That would be kind of awesome.
Oh, and then tell this story?
Yes.
That's pretty good. I could do that.
Just throwing it out there.
I don't want to name my kid Mike, though.
No, it's true. That's true. You're absolutely right.
Ash Jr. People are saying Ash Jr. No way. Well, my real name, I have thought about this. My real name is Ash Lynn, and a lot of people think my name's Ash Lee.
Yes.
But I am not an Ashley, tell you that much.
I'm not
an Ashley. But everyone calls me Ash anyways, so I feel like I could name my kid Ash Lynn, and there would be like, everyone would still call me Ash, and it wouldn't be confusing, and then call my kid Ash Lynn.
Yeah, because I think that's, and I'm not a junior, and I'm not in the junior household, but I always thought that would be the confusing part, because then you got to give both of the father and the son some sort of crappy nickname, because they both answer to the same. I'm not a junior fan in general, so I'm glad you talked him out of that.
Yeah, I talked him out of junior. A lot of people are giving me yes, Ashlyn. I'm not going to add junior. We're not going to.
Kind of be funny, though, is the middle name. Because then it would never be used. It would just been Ashlyn J. What's the J stand for? Junior. Junior.
Junior.
Stanford
oh
Junior.
Whoa. Spencer Jr. and Ash Jr. Whoa, tough. That's my boyfriend's name. That's what
it would have been good. That's why Mike Jr. would have been funny. Because it would be like, why is his name Mike Jr.? That's because.
I'll just tell you when we're one-on-one sometimes.
Exactly. When we're and it's funny because I was thinking as you're giving that answer, I'm like, you must love but hate meet and greets.
Ooh.
Because meet and greets are a chance to talk. Like for me, and I'm always backstage watching these meet and greets. And for me, the best part about it is just seeing a fan meet somebody that they respect, that they have drawn inspiration from, that they anything, and just getting that chance to say hello and the picture is great. So I would imagine on that sense, it's like it's awesome to hear how great I am from everybody. But then the other side of the coin is if you're like yourself. You get in a conversation and it's like, Ash, we got to move it along. We got 17 other people in line. You know, she's got to save her voice, so she can't really speak today. So then you just smile for the picture. It's a double-edged sword meet and greets for somebody like you.
Yeah, this is a really good thing to bring up. I love meet and greets. I have to do them pre-show. Some people like doing them post-show, but I'm a shell. After I'm like,
I never get post show. I never get that.
Some people live and die by it. And I was like, well, you can die by it if you want to, but I don't want to. I always pre-show. So I have the energy, and the way I have always done it is you have to have a bad guy on your team.
Have to.
You have to have someone who's not you step in and be like, so sorry.
Gotta move it along.
Because you need to I want to hug and hold and have a moment with everyone who bought it. It's usually some astronomical way higher ticket price. So they earn, you know, this time. But then I do this thing where I have everyone write, instead of like having, if they want to ask me a question right there, I have them write down a question and then we all sit down on the floor of the venue and I go through the questions and I read them and like answer them.
Look at you. What is that?
It's cool.
It's fantastic.
Thanks. It's so much better because then you get to really dig deep into stuff.
Yeah.
But you're not having to do it. Like then everyone gets to hear the answer.
Exactly.
Instead of one. Yeah.
Everybody's part of the conversation. And Ash, as you pointed out earlier, you're the center of attention, which you love.
Well, yes.
Yes, that it's true.
Words of affirmation is definitely one of my love languages. So when someone tells me that like my music has impacted their lives or something like that, I eat that up for breakfast.
Okay, so look, we're SM7B mates. But I will also tell you that I am a words of affirmation guy myself.
You are.
Yes. Acts of service, fine. That's all great. The gifts, fine. Words of affirmation. That's where
I
get.
And time spent for me.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Because the way I see it, my time is the most valuable thing I have in this world because time is fleeting and very limited, and who knows when your last day on earth is. So if I give you any of my time, then that's the greatest form of love that I can show you, you know, and vice versa.
I was gonna say, is this the part where you were asking me to thank you for the time that you gave for this conversation? Thank me, please.
Say nice things about me and say thanks for my time. No, but same with vice versa. It's like if somebody is giving me, say they only have, 60 years to live. If they give me an hour of their time, that makes that hour so much more special with that perspective.
You're right. And people might go 60 years. 1 hour, it's not that much, but you think to yourself, talk to me in those last 6 months. That 1 hour 30 years ago, that was a big deal.
Oh, well, that's deep.
We've gone a lot of different ways in this conversation, I'll tell you that.
I love it.
Let's end on a little bit lighter note. Actually, a lot lighter note.
Oh, okay.
Well, the bad news part, we were supposed to have our official hang for us in August, August 1st, at Meriwether Post Pavilion. That was your D.C. / Baltimore area tour date with Quinn and with AJR.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting that. No. I just want to. I want to be. Just let me be sad for a second.
This
let me
is
feel
a
that
lighter note to end on.
This is the lighter
dog.
Well, I mean, it's better than us dying at 60. I mean, it's much lighter. It's a lighter note than that.
I meant like 60 more years. You know?
Oh, 60 on like... top of this. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, then this wasn't lighter. I thought I was getting lighter, but this wasn't lighter.
We have to change the subject.
Well, I was going to ask you, it seems like you, Quinn specifically, and the brothers are pretty close already. So what did you guys have planned off of stage for this summer that was going to happen? And then we'll get lighter at the end, because I knew that this is going to make us even more sad. But what did you guys have put together for your offstage stuff during this summer together?
What did we have planned? Just a summer trip to the Hamptons, just the four of us, five of us.
Ash, you don't put on airs. It would have been more like, I was thinking like summer camp, where we all would just be like one big campground of backstages all summer.
Oh, that would have been so nice. I think we should actually plan something. I think that would be really cute. But I'm still getting to know Jack and the guys.
Okay.
And JR. I feel like we need to get a little closer before we go to the Hamptons together.
Right, now, will you chopper into the Hamptons, or will you come amongst the rest of us and drive in? How will you get there?
AJR is paying.
Obvi.
Okay.
Obvi.
They were the headliner. Listen.
They're paying. Okay.
Listen. And then they'll pick me up on their private jet.
At your space, is there enough space to bring the chopper in to get you on?
Oh, that's a good, definitely not. I'll relocate.
Okay. We can coordinate. And the sad thing is we don't have to worry about this because the tour is not happening.
Are you coming?
I'll have to drive. I don't think I'm getting on the chopper, but I think I would drive to the Hamptons hang. Summer camp at the Hamptons.
Perfect.
Okay, so what is, now this is hopefully the optimistic note. I think the upside is, tell me if I'm wrong, as awesome as that show would have been, now I feel like we get Ash at a smaller venue with Ash the headliner and Ash the full headliner set rather than an opener set. When's that going to happen in D.C., Ash?
Oh, I love D.C. D.C. is where I had my very first headline show ever.
Where'd you play?
I have a picture of it.
How many people does it hold? And I'll give
I
you some
think
names.
It was a 500 cap room. It's pretty
okay.
small.
So
my first headline tour was well before all of this.
Well before all of this.
Well before all of my private.
You know this.
You know.
Before the chopper came into play.
You know. I it was like a 250 and 500 cap room tour, and I did like 32 dates across the U.S. or something like that.
And D.C. was day one.
D.C. was day one, and it was the one of my favorite shows of all time. It was.
How about the nerves beforehand, though?
The nerves?
Were there any nerves, or was it like, this is what I wanted to do, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm excited to be doing it?
No, it was more that. I knew it was what I was meant to be doing. So it felt, I mean, it was a little like, whoa, this is happening. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But mostly I just knew it was where I was meant to be.
I like when you go baller, Ash, and you've done it a couple of times in this conversation. Center stage with a mic. That's where I was meant to be. What are you talking about, nerves? I was born to be there.
Well, you know what? I have wasted so much of my life being insecure and
Amen,
being
sister.
self-doubting and putting limiting beliefs on myself that I am done. I am done with it. I don't want to fake humility if I'm actually, I don't think it's being proud. If
you're doing it.
I don't know, man.
You're doing it. I'm going to go because I'm going to listen to chapter two, and I don't know if this is wrong to say, but I really connect with chapter two more than I connect with chapter one. So I'm actually really, and it's weird because when I was listening to chapter one, I was like, this is good. I currently wasn't going through a breakup or a divorce or like those, the issues in chapter one weren't things that I was relating to. Yes. But the style of chapter two, and they feel like different, I don't want to say genre of songs, but they feel different than the chapter one style of songs. And listening to chapter two, I'm like, I'm really feeling chapter two.
Wow. That's so nice. Words of affirmation hitting me right in the spot.
Well, I'm glad because as I was talking, I'm like, I hope she doesn't think that I'm shitting all over chapter one just to bring up chapter two. Because I'm not.
You mean to say you hate chapter one? Come on, man. No.
And as I was talking, that was the only thing I was thinking was, I hope she doesn't think that I'm shitting on chapter one.
I feel like, hold on. Can I look up chapter two really quick? Because I forget.
Wait, what?
I know. I mean, come on. I was thinking about it. It was like Brian Wilson probably didn't remember the order of the songs. Maybe he did, but I definitely forget the order.
Did you just comp yourself to Brian Wilson?
I mean,
you're going all in on Borash.
Borash steps up to the plate.
I'm also waiting for you to say.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to say, you know, when I release a song into the world, it's like a bird and I just let it go. And I don't know where it flies to from there. And I don't think about it again because I need to start working on hatching new eggs and new birds to release out into the world. And for those reasons, I have no idea what songs are on chapter two. I'll look them up for you, Roach, because I don't know because I've given them to the world.
They're not my birds anymore.
They're not mine.
The nest. That is some Joni Mitchell ass shit right there. Wow. That was pretty good. I should steal that.
All right. Feel free.
Okay,
feel free.
Okay.
That shows up in a lyric though, Ash.
You better get publishing.
The first time we meet will be in a courtroom.
Oh my. Did you just threaten me with a lawsuit on Instagram Live?
I would be so stoked that I heard a line that I wouldn't even know what to do with anything legally doing anything.
This is my favorite interview I've ever done. Okay,
all right, so now that you've got a chance to look at chapter two, what are your thoughts on these songs?
Okay, so moral of the story, chapter two is In Disguise, Cold in California, Immature, and Not How It's Supposed to Go. And two of my favorite songs off both EPs is In Disguise and Not How It's Supposed to Go.
Love both those songs.
I think you are onto something. Actually, Cold in California too.
I was gonna say, and I'm not even. I've been to California twice in my life, but just hearing it for the first time, I was like, I totally feel like I'm in that vibe.
Well, it's so much less about California than it is about that song's not really. I've always identified as California. I was born and raised in California, so I like. If I had to be a state, I would be California. And so the song is much more about me feeling like other people only saw one side of me, and that's this sunshiny, happy thing. And I was like, it's just not. I'm just a human being who is super duper sad a lot.
Yeah.
Just like anybody else. And so that song, hopefully, you would relate to that one, even though. It's not, you're not.
I did. Chapter
I'm
two.
I'm just a mere mortal like you. As I was talking, I heard that and I was like, oh, you suck. Shut up.
It was funny. At the beginning of our conversation, you were like, okay, I mean, I'll say this. At the end, you're like, baller ash flexing the entire time.
The beach is that way. Oh my gosh. Wow.
I want to wrap up there because this was fantastic. And I love this conversation. And thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you. Thanks for playing.
I thought this was going to be 20 minutes.
Story.
I thought this was going to be 20 minutes. This is
it was
50 minutes in.
Supposed to be 20 minutes. I'll send you my bill after this.
For anybody watching this right now, Ash just gave me the heads up that the label said, going to be 20-minute conversation, Roach from DC 101. Bad. Now we're 50 minutes in, and in her head, it's like, it's supposed to be 20.
Somebody, Abby from Mom and Pop, my label, just commented too. She's like,
supposed to be 20 minutes.
No, this is way better. I'll send you my bill later though, for sure.
Please. Well, you know what? Can we call it even when you just use the lyric in the song and I don't try to get any publishing rights off of you?
That's fair. Something about birds and releasing them and then eggs, new eggs.
Okay, she's forgotten the lyric. How are you going to use it?
Text me. Oh, this has been just so lovely.
Ash, thank you very much. And by the way, if anybody's catching just the end of this conversation, we've got it posted for you at dc101.com, Roach and Ash. Thank you so much, and thank you for giving us more of the story. And I'm looking forward to a single off of Chapter 2 coming very, very soon as well.
Aw, thanks, man. This has been so lovely.
We've got our second part of the conversation that I had with Ash. That one was in April of 2020. This is in March of 2021. So you can see how we've both have grown over the course of the pandemic. Before we get to that, though, I want to remind you that I have a couple of podcasts. Both I am proud to co-host with ladies, as this is International Women's Day as we post this episode of The Sphere of Roach. My Pearl Jam podcast, Jamily Matters, I co-host with Billie Jean, who works for The Orchard and is just an awesome person and a huge Pearl Jam fan. And so I really love having Pearl Jam conversations with her. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, you will love them as well. Jamily Matters. And I host my craft beer podcast, Head Retention, with another fantastic female. Her name is Lachelle, and she knows so much more about beer and the beer making process than I could ever know. That it's just a joy working with both of them for both podcasts, Jamily Matters and Head Retention, both available through the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Well, now I can officially welcome you. Ash, how are you?
Hello, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I want to tell you how this is going to
I'm good.
This is what you say in a pandemic. You just go pause, sigh, I'm good. Cuz I want to complain.
It's like it's a this.
It's never that. Cuz you can't even complain because if you complain, the person you're complaining to is inevitably going to have a story that's going to way overshoot why they should at least say I'm not well, and yet I'm saying I'm not well and they didn't say they're not well. So I feel dumb for saying it.
Whoa, I didn't really think about that. That's so true. Like there's always someone going through something tougher than you.
Yes.
Always, right?
So you just keep your mouth shut. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed.
Ash, I don't know if you remember, and by the way, I'm not going to hold you. There's not going to be a quiz. There won't be any hard feelings. But I don't know if you remember, we talked at the beginning of the pandemic, you and I.
I remember.
We had a fantastic conversation. It was literally, we did a number of these because this is the new normal now where we talk with artists through different social media video platforms. But yours was my favorite conversation, and I will tell you why. Because we were just talking, and we touched on a lot of things that we needed to talk about to take people behind the scenes. We need to talk about, like, you know, the new single and, you know, how did you get to work with we talked about all that stuff, but we did it in the course of a conversation that was really fun, and I really enjoyed it. So if you don't remember it, my heart will be broken, but I understand if you don't remember it because you probably have done 1,000 of these.
No, I totally remember you. Well, because I think it was pretty early on.
Right.
It was like, when was it? March or April or May?
Early mid-April-ish.
Yeah, I feel like I remember a lot, and this can't be said for everyone that I've done interviews with, but a lot of the first ones,
yes, fresh ones,
were the first ever of my career, you know, ever. So yeah, there, you got a special place in my heart. Also, side note, you probably are. I don't see the recording button on. Is it going?
Well, it's going now, but it's fine because I'm a. I like to throw these up as podcasts. So I for me, the actual, and this is a great conversation point as well. I'm a little, I don't love going to YouTube and seeing you in one box and me in another box. And it's just the same kind of visual for 20 minutes. I'd much rather pop headphones in and kind of like shovel snow and do stuff with our conversation in my ear. So I always post to audio and not always video.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure. That's great. I think everyone, you know, everyone consumes right now in so many different ways. And yeah, I'm definitely I love the podcast vibe. I'm not shoveling snow because I live in LA, but
okay.
I did just get a dog. So I am picking up poop. Well,
did you get a puppy or did you rescue an adult?
I rescued an adult.
Good.
He's back there. Yeah, actually, because I have not, like, we've not talked about getting a dog, but I was on a run one day in Highland Park, and there was this dog that was running across traffic, and I ran into traffic and stopped. I was like, not today, Satan. And I almost got hit by a car, but I just did not care. I was like, I'd rather get hit by the car before that this dog gets hit. And must have chased him for like a quarter mile until he finally came to me, took him to the shelter. This is the first time I'm telling this story, so I'm getting better at it. Took him to the shelter that night, broke my heart, cried. And then 5 days later, they were like, their owner hasn't come for him. Do you want him? And I was like, Yes. Manipulated my boyfriend into thinking it was a good idea. And now he loves the dog more than I do. It's very cute.
I have a lot to unpack with that story. And it's touching. It's a very special episode of Ash and Roach on DC 101 as we are talking about serious things. The first thing I'll say is how much of a motivator was it for your run that you then have to shift, because you're probably jogging along, you got your headphones in, you're just doing your thing, and all of a sudden now you're on a chase. You're Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, where you're chasing after someone, and now we're actually running. We're not out for a jog, we're running.
Can I be Tom Hanks in Catch Me If You Can?
You can.
Instead of Tom Cruise?
You can. You have to strike the pose, okay, though. The in the middle. You're chasing Leo as Tom Hanks in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be Tom Hanks. I just love him so, so much. Yeah, it became suddenly it was no longer just like I'm blissfully running to this coffee shop,
right,
and instead of that, I'm trying to save this dog from getting killed. It was so, I was like, no, I really don't want to see that today. And you know, I'm not going to judge anyone who doesn't do this, but like, I'm just not the person who sees a stray animal and like, well, hope that works out, you know, like an elite, like I will never do that ever. So I will always be the one who like tries to chase this animal down. And thank God he came to me and he was so sweet. And now he's our bub.
I'm going to start calling you one up, Ash, because you literally pulled a one up, and I like that you low key didn't acknowledge that you one upped, and like even look on your face now is like, one up? How'd I one up? Well, we talk about rescuing and everybody kind of like, hey, don't go to breeders, rescue. And when you say rescue, they mean go to a shelter and rescue your new friend. Ash literally rescued a dog's life and then took it to a shelter and then re-rescued it. So when you say rescue a dog and you mean just went to a shelter and picked out a dog, Ash is going to top that by saying you haven't rescued your dog until you have literally rescued a dog from instant peril. So one up, Ash, in the house.
What up, Ash? That's hilarious. That's true. I didn't mean to do that.
Why, of course you didn't.
Trying...
of course you didn't.
I'm not trying to be aggressive. I was, well, it's funny too, because there was just no world in which we have a dog right now unless it happened the way it happened, you know, because at the time we just, there's so much going on and we do, like, I do feel very capable of taking care of him and loving him and giving him the life he deserves. But that was a concern. Like, we weren't just going to go to an adoption shelter and get a dog because we were like, well, there's a lot. It just wasn't on the top of our mind.
Right.
So, yeah. So, that's cute. I like that serves my ego.
It does.
The way you.
I like it.
Yeah,
one
I
up,
like
one up, Ash.
I'm joking it.
One up, Ash. I would like to do a quick kind of catch up on our conversation from last year. It's weird. We had a conversation last April, which is coming up on a year ago. It's 11 months as we record, but it'll be about a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And the biggest wow is it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, well, first, My visual is exactly the same. There's a lot more facial hair. I decided in like June, I was like, I'm not shaving until this is over. So when you saw me earlier, it was just a regular like Manscaped beard. And now it's the I'm just open to craft brewery beard that I've got going.
Yeah, you definitely like brew your own IPA.
Right.
You know about hops and
hops.
Shit.
I do. And yeah. Malt forwards. Yeah, I know all about that. It looks like you have just set up in a different spot, or are you in the same place that you were last April?
Well, it looks kind of similar because it's all the same stuff that was in the last place. But
moved.
No, yeah. My boyfriend and I moved from we were in West Hollywood, and now we're in Highland Park. And we're actually probably going to move again to Silver Lake because we're like, I don't know, we're very restless, we're moving around a lot, but this is the place for now, and it's been really lovely, but yeah,
I like that.
Oh, and there goes my dog barking at the mailman.
This is a new thing for you,
Tucker. No. Sorry.
I like that your new thing is some people like my wife has taken up jigsaw puzzles during the pandemic. You've taken up moving, and I think that's a really, that's a nice flex on how you'd spend your pandemic. I've moved many times. That's what I've done.
It's very silly too, because it's not like I'm really upgrading. Like, I think it's been the same rent and the same size and all the different ones. It's just a different location.
But if you think about it, it is a great way to spend the pandemic, because you need to make the decision. Hey, we're moving. And then that takes a couple of weeks. Then you need to apartment hunt or a house hunt, which takes a couple of weeks. Then you got to pack the whole place up, which takes about a month. Then you got to actually move, which takes about a couple of weeks. Then you got to unpack. Then you got to get everything set up. Then you've got to get bored. So this is a nice little, hey, this is a good cycle of pandemic.
I know. Watch the next call we do. Like, we'll do another interview a year from now, and it'll be at the next place, and I'll be like, yep, getting really excited to move to Colorado, Roach.
So that was the first catch up. The second thing was, we talked extensively about the Beach Boys and your love of the Beach Boys. And we had kind of, and I don't want to claim that I'm your new manager, but I kind of am your new manager. We had kind of kicked around the idea of you doing some sort of Beach Boys, either tribute album or maybe a song, and release the song during the pandemic. I've been following. I have a Google alert for Ash, and there's been nothing that's come up on it. So I'm a little disappointed that you took my advice and just threw that out the window. And I also feel like Brian Wilson is a little disappointed that you also took my advice and threw it out the window.
Wow. I feel like here's the bus.
Yep.
And here am I.
Yep. Yep.
You know, well, so I did a little Pet Sounds tribute thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was brief. Brian Wilson has not called me yet and told me how genius I am, but I'm waiting for that call. No, I think the best way that I'm trying to sort of, you know, honor and sort of do a tribute to that album and to the Beach Boys is it, there's just so much sonic influence on my album. My album is, for people who love the Beach Boys, know the Beach Boys and love Pet Sounds, they will hear it. I think my high school fans who aren't really educated yet on the Beach Boys are not gonna have a clue about those influences, but people who do know are gonna hear it, and I think that's really exciting.
No, I love that answer because we touched on that last year, where you know the introduction of it to a generation who may not have been familiar with the Beach Boys is important. And I love that kind of, hey, there's going to be some my Beach Boys influences are seeping into my music that I'm creating and putting out on an album. So as an awesome answer. Also, I feel better. Taylor Swift did take my idea and then released an album worth of covers this year, I think. So if it's good enough for Taylor, I mean, that's good enough for Ash, but maybe it isn't. So whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. Also, and helping to educate, you know, your fan base on your favorite artists. I think that's such a cool part about being an artist, because your fans get to know you better by knowing your inspirations. And like Carole King's Tapestry turned 50 on February 12th or something.
I saw some
11th, something.
I've been watching a lot of old videos of performances of hers. And I was wondering, why are all these Carole King videos popping up? But that's why. Okay.
Yeah. So it was the 50th anniversary of Tapestry, and a bunch of people, were posting about it. And I did like a whole Instagram story saga essay on it, because I love her so much. And it's so cool. Like, I'll get tweets, you know, every other day that are like, I'm listening to Carole King, Ash. Like, thanks for introducing me to her.
Love that.
And I'm like,
how do you not know?
How did I introduce you?
I'm glad you're here now, but you're really late to this party. But I'm glad you took my invitation.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, that's the best part. One of the best parts about being an artist.
I'm going to ask about Phineas now.
Okay. I love Phineas.
Well, so let me ask you. And I don't want to get into the full details unless you want to share them. But you told I had a chance to hear a conversation with you and Phineas together. And it was Phineas basically saying, I was walking out of Starbucks and Ash was walking into Starbucks, or the reverse of it was the case. And I'm sitting here listening to it and I'm like, you know, I remember like when you were trying to put a band together in high school, you had to put like a sign up and you know, you had to have like, and you went through like 7 guitarists because the guitarist didn't kind of work out. And so then I'm thinking, as Phineas is telling the story, I'm like, so Ash and Phineas just kind of like run into each other and become like friends, and now they're just like making music together. Is it that easy in LA? And now I understand why every musician needs to get to LA, because apparently walking out of getting a coffee is where you come up with collabs now.
You know what? I think that's so funny. That's how we met, because it does not happen that often. That's not normal. You know, LA is a huge place. I've been trying to run into Diane Keaton for 3 years, and she is elusive, I'm telling you. You know, it's so funny. And also that, like, I didn't remember. It was really cute that he remembered that, because I totally forgot. That's how we met. And I felt like such a bad friend when he was like, yo, it's really cute. We met at a crosswalk. She was going to coffee and I was leaving. It was really cute.
One up Ash. One up Ash back in the house. And I don't even remember that. Sorry.
I don't even remember that. I'm so cool.
Sorry, Grammy Award winner Phineas O'Connell. I have no idea that I knew you. Sorry.
I didn't think about how it's kind of a flex that I forgot, but that's awesome.
Great flex.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he's the best.
So did you guys do the Spider-Man meme to like when you guys were with the coffee? Did you both point at each other going, you're Ash.
Walk by.
You're Phineas. What?
That's honestly exactly. Now that I remember and he reminded me, that's exactly what happened. We were mid-crosswalk. We were like, hey. You like, what do you do? Oh, it's so nice to meet. And we knew of each other, like Billie Eilish wasn't Billie Eilish yet.
Right.
I think Ocean Eyes was out, but it, you know, it was not, and he was a great writer. I knew he's a great writer and producer, but you know, we were both unsuccessful.
On the come up. Can we say on the come up? You don't have to say unsuccessful.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. Wow. That's nicer. That's way nicer. Yes, totally. We were both on the come up. And so, yeah, we were just like, we knew of each other. And so, and I knew what he looked like. So I was like, oh man, this is cool. But it was so quick. And then when I think we were in a session together, like the next week or something.
And so how many years ago was that?
4.
Okay. Cause I, the reason I asked that question is because
I think
the new single, which is called
Till Forever Falls Apart.
The reason I'm having, I keep wanting to insert the word friends in that song, in that title, because I always want to say something like friends forever or till forever friend, because I love the way that you guys describe the song, which is it's a friendship love song, or a love song about friendship. And I'll let people go find Phineas's description because it's really good, and I don't want to make you rehash the same thing over and over again. But the sum up is there are a ton of love songs about being in love. There are not many love songs about us being great friends. So I asked about how long it's been, because 4 years is more than enough time to go, I love this person as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it happened like 3 months ago, I'd have been like, oh, okay, so this is just to make a song together. But it's not.
Right.
You guys do love each other as friends enough to write a love song about friendship together.
I will say 3 months into writing together, we were like, we're going to be friends forever. Like, it was like a very instantaneous connection out the gate. But yeah, it was definitely, it was special in from the beginning. But and I, it's funny, I joke with him about, like, I don't even know why we're such good friends. Like, we're very different people. Our taste in music is fairly different. Like, he was making fun of one of my favorite Christmas movies over Christmas,
which is
like, it's The Family Stone with Diane Keaton.
Well, you did get, this is 2 Diane Keaton references you've dropped in this conversation, Ash.
I know. Just wait for the third.
It's keep waiting. Because it's coming.
It's around the corner. Yeah. And he was like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And I was just like, how dare you?
That hurts.
It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just more of like, we just sort of, our spirits have always connected, and it's really cool. And but anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. But to your point about it being a friendship love song, I think we both really feel that way about this song. I think that it's easily interpreted however way,
right,
you know, somebody wants to listen to it, you know, or even like a parent with their kid or vice versa. Like, I think it's a really cool universal way of approaching love, which I don't know that there's tons of
there
out
aren't.
In the world. So
it's really good. I don't feel bad for not knowing the song title and not really talking about the song. I only heard it once, because as we record this, it hasn't officially been released yet. So I'm excited. I'm excited to kind of listen to it 3, 4, 5 times and really immerse myself in it. I know there's a lot of California love in it. That's what I do remember. And and the visuals are great too. So make sure you track down the video when it's officially released for everybody. But it's really good. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. Thank you.
Well, look.
I hope the world loves it. And the music video comes out the day the song comes out, which is the first time I've ever done that. So I'm excited that people will immediately have, you know, a cool video.
Synergy. It's all synergy now. I like it.
It's all coming together.
And by the way, I don't want to be disingenuous, because I feel like if I said, I love the song, it was awesome, and I was like, hey, I only heard it once. If you're going to say that, I'm taking your opinions with grains of salt.
No, I really love that you said that. Was it on that meeting?
Yes.
a little group call.
Yes, but I didn't turn my camera on, so you didn't see me. And she, here's the thing.
I was going to say.
Behind the scenes, Ash shouted out a couple of people, and I was like, oh, if I put my camera on, would she have shouted me out? I don't know, but I'm glad I didn't, because if she didn't, I would have been heartbroken.
That's right. Yeah, I was calling people out that I remembered. That's so funny. Yeah, you should have turned your camera on.
My camera on. Then my camera on.
Yeah, so you've only heard it once. I think you're going to love it, but give it time.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be disingenuous. I want you to sit with it and then.
Yeah, I really, I want to hear it a number of times again. That was my first impression, which is a great first impression as far as I'm concerned.
And see if you can pick up on Beach Boys inspo.
Well, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. The visuals felt very Beach Boy-y. I mean, they had a vibe to it. There's, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. There's no sand or anything, but it definitely felt Pet Sounds like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the video, we're outdoors, which we're also in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. Had to
so
be.
So there's that as well. Yeah. There's a whole, that whole situation was crazy too, because we learned a whole dance together. And the first time
beautiful.
We did it was the day we filmed it.
It's beautiful.
So it was.
It's beautiful choreography.
Thanks, man.
It's beautiful choreography. I don't.
Thanks. So hard.
I don't want to ask this question because I feel like it's a little cliche, but I'm legitimately curious because the first time I heard, Ash's next single is going to have Phineas on it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if Ash had any, like, was there ever a thought in her head of like, oh, I don't want to have the Billy comps come in and. I'm working with Billy's brother, and everybody knows Billy and Phineas as kind of like a team. And when Phineas is on his own, he's on his own. And do I want to be the female voice next to Phineas that is not Billy? Is there anything in your head that was like, I'm not saying you had reservations, but was there ever any part of the promotional person in your, that you probably hate thinking about that you did think about for a second going, maybe? Nah, I don't care.
That's a really good question. I haven't really, honestly, I don't think I've really thought about
good.
It that much. Now I'm nervous.
Now it's all in my head.
Sheesh. No, you know what? I don't think I've been too concerned about it. Just because people already know how close Finn and I are, or there are sort of like, at least most of our his fans and my fans sort of already know that we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's like going to come as that big of a surprise. And I definitely don't feel like the other woman with like, she's his sister. So that's a,
that's a little, that was a little weird, but I know what you're saying.
You know, I don't feel like I'm stealing him from him or it just feels very natural and organic. And I think most of our fan bases are just really excited.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I think that if it happened before Moral of the Story, I would feel more nervous.
Great point.
Because I, you know, my career, you know, hadn't sort of changed yet. And I was still, you know, grinding
right.
and putting out my own music and trying to make a name for myself. And I think if we would have done a collab then, it would have felt like, oh, I'm trying to, you know, use Finn's name or something like that. And that feels really gross to me.
Right.
But now, you know, I feel very confident in standing on my own two feet as an artist. And so us coming together, it feels very equal.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that we're at the same sort of level because he has 5 Grammys and that's sick. I have none yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
But you've also had a single release as a collab, which the Better in College. And so this isn't your first go around with that. And also, I think this is your song that he just happens to be on. This is you. You're front and center. Your first vocal. He wrote a verse, but this is your song.
Yeah, I think, and again, fans are going to interpret that a million different ways, and I think they get to decide. It feels very much my song, and it just is so right. It just, we needed to do it together, and not because of promo or because it felt like the right, like, it just wasn't about, it wasn't strategic as much as it was, we just love each other,
right.
And it's time.
It's time.
Yeah. It's time. I'm really, I could not be more proud of it. Yeah. So Till Forever Falls Apart is essentially a song I wrote about, you know, having this relationship and love with one of your best friends. And I think that it's just, it's such a different angle to take a song. And I feel really, really proud of it. I get to release it with my friend Phineas. And yeah.
Did you write it for Phineas, or did he glom on to some other previous friendship and co-opt it as his own friendship with you?
No, you know, I didn't write it with anyone particularly in mind. I think I probably somewhere in my head, I always knew it was going to be him. And I've worked with other artists before on songs, and I knew that if I was going to have a feature on it, I needed to love that person. I needed them to be someone who I, you know, really connected with. So it just made so much sense that it was going to be him. And, you know, especially going through, you know, I've done, Moral of the Story came out, and then had the opportunity to have Niall Horan on that song later. And that was so special. And I just got really lucky that we became good friends. 'Cause that situation could have gone horribly wrong.
Right.
We could have totally not gotten along and then had to do all this promo together and whatnot. So I was like, I'm going to set myself up for success on this one. And he's fabulous. So
I call Ash One Up Ash because she keeps one upping anytime you tell a story, and she did it just now. Ash said, as you listen to this track, well, yeah, because you said, I didn't have anybody in mind when I wrote this song, and Phineas had you in mind when he wrote his parts. So in Ash's mind, this is just about a good friend, and Phineas has now said, this is about Ash.
Oh, my gosh. That's so... Wow. I think it's cool that you are figuring me out.
That's true.
Better
That's
than
true.
I have figured myself out.
We're here with Ash. She's been hanging out with us on International Women's Day. And the song that put you on the map, Ash, is Moral of the Story. We're going to play it, obviously. And I wanted to get your thoughts on not the song, but the success of the song and what the song has allowed you to do. I've asked a number of artists this over the years, because you want to say that you get tired of a certain song because you hear it all the time, because it's the song that's associated with you, or the song that opened the doors, and you kind of want to go, okay, I've evolved past that. But a lot of artists recently have kind of zagged on that and said, no, I know what this song has meant to my career and what it's allowed me to do, and so I have respect for that. Is that your thought process on it?
That's definitely a part of it. But I think the biggest thing for me, especially with Moral of the Story, is, you know, it is so vulnerable and is so true to my own story that I can't ever get sick of it, because it's ingrained in my being. It's who I am. It's just a story about my life. And, you know, I am really proud of that record. I think it's really well written, and I think that it's important as artists that we only put our best shit out, because in case it goes, if it happens to be a hit, you're going to be singing it 30 years from now on your reunion tour, you know? So and I think every artist has their own right to their opinion, and I get it, of people feeling like they've evolved past a song, but you know, I think so much of the reason why we get to do what we do is because the fans are there listening and digesting the music and telling their friends. And it would be such a disservice to those people to not play Moral of the Story at my show, every single show.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. As an artist, A, I love the record, and B, I'm going to always prioritize my fans, you know, and play the record. You know, I love it. I'm not sick of it. I think it's good.
I love that counting this hour that she's hung out on DC 101, the hour we spent last year for our DC 101 at home sessions, Ash is never cursed until we went live on the air, and then she just drops an S-bomb. It was nice. It was good. That's what I loved.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Love it.
Oh, no. I keep forgetting that this is radio.
Right.
Because we're just, like, hanging out.
We're just hanging out.
Like you said it earlier. You're like, it's like a podcast.
We're just hanging.
Oh, am I in trouble?
No, you are totally not, because it wasn't live. I can edit it. That's fine. So it's International Women's Day here throughout the world, and here on DC 101, we've been spotlighting female artists throughout the day. And we have Ash here for this hour, and I thank you for taking the time to hang with us on this day, Ash. But I do have to ask you a question, and this is probably a little bit serious. She can see me. You can see that I'm a man of color. I'm biracial. So I have an appreciation for Black History Month, and I know what it does, and I know what it means, and I know the importance of it. However, there is a part of me that chafes a little bit of, okay, well, we get, so the month, got it. And then the rest of the year, it's what? Do whatever you want. We don't have to worry about raising awareness. We don't have to worry about all this stuff. So March being International Women's Month, this is International Women's Day. With that thought in your mind, what are your thoughts on today and what it means and the proper context of what it could mean?
On International Women's Day or on Black History Month?
On International. I was using, because my truth is Black History Month. I'm like, great. So on March 1st, we don't have to raise awareness for Black history. And so, like, I think
see what you're saying.
Today is March 8th. We're spotlighting women. What about March 9th? Are we going to not spotlight? Like, does the spotlight go away?
100%.
See you next March 8th.
Yeah. See you next year. Oh, I totally understand what you're saying. I think that, Yeah, there's a little bit of that in the ether of like, okay, we'll celebrate today and then tomorrow we'll just forget.
Right.
I think that it's so important to always be advocating and speaking up for all the time. You know, I think that, you know, I think if anything has taught us last year and going through, man, you know, oh my God, from the pandemic to George Floyd to this year, and man, you see so much going on in this world and not enough good people speaking up. And I think that the more that we can constantly being, you know, raising awareness for anyone who's discriminated on is so important. And so, you know, I definitely think, man, women we've definitely clawed our way to where we are. I also think there's a lot of incredible, you know, men who've spoken up and have our backs and are advocates too. And I think that's incredible. This isn't about the men right now though. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to say every day is International Women's Day because, you know, it's not, but I definitely believe that days like this remind us to appreciate how far we've come. And yeah, I mean, I think of Gloria Steinem as like my hero. And I think she's just like the most incredible human and has fought for women's rights since the 60s, 70s. And so we stand on her shoulders and we stand on so many women's shoulders. And I think that's really cool, especially as artists now in our generation.
Right.
I know that I'm talking for a long time, but I think this is a really important thing.
I totally agree. Two years ago on this radio station, there was a rule in our music program that prohibited back-to-back female songs being played, because the thought process was our DC 101 listeners wouldn't want to hear female voices back-to-back. That was 2 years ago. I'm not talking about 1979. I'm talking about 2 years ago. And I said at the end of 2019 that this is turning into the year that females are kicking down the door of alternative rock. And it turned out to be a kicking down the door and a flood now with artists like Billy, Lord a few years before that. We talked about Claro, Royal and the Serpent, Chelsea of Shade. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Sarah of Fantagram and Ash of Ash as well is included.
Ash of Ash
is included as well. I guess my point is, and I didn't have that thought when I asked you the question, but to spotlight the day or spotlight the month for something starts to expand the palette. And once we expand the palette, it's very hard to shrink the palette. And now that we are expanding the palette, this is what this day does. It helps us to expand the palette, which we need to do.
Yeah. Well, and remind alternative radio that female voices have a place,
right?
You know, and that also that alternative listeners are hungry for it. And I think that's so important. I think even, you know, a year ago when Moral of the Story started playing on alt radio, it was me and Billie Eilish in the top like 50 songs out of everyone being played. And it was like just, and then it was, I think it was me, Billie, and then the lead singer of The Head and the Heart is a female as well. So it was like those three women. And I was like, where are the ladies?
Yep.
You know? And that was a year ago.
It was a year.
So I could not be more proud to hear that alt is repping, you know, more women, you know, Claro and Realm Serpent. I think that's, I'm a fan. Keep going. I love alt radio. It's like, but support us.
Got work to do. Yeah, so there's work to be done.
Really cool.
Give us the details, the debut album, all the facts about Ash.
I can't tell you anything.
Come on! You know what? And you like how I said it all breezy? Like, you know what? I'll just say it like everybody knows, and then she'll just tell me because she thinks everybody knows. But nope, she didn't fall for it.
I know. You're quick. You can't manipulate a manipulator.
All right.
I wish I could tell you all of it because I'm so, so, so excited. But yeah, I'm finishing up the album. Okay. I could not be more excited. And the world will get it soon. I can say it that much.
Ash, you are one of my favorite people to talk to. I'm not going to say that you're my best friend because I don't want to oversell it, but you are one of my favorite people to talk to because we always have some fun, lighthearted, but we get into some serious topics as well. You can listen to this entire conversation at dc101.com. And I appreciate the time as always, Ash. And good luck with the single and, more importantly for me, the debut album, because that's a collection of you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for supporting me and my music. And by supporting me, you're supporting female artists. And so I really appreciate that. And I can't wait for you to hear the album.
You are now leaving the sphere of Roach.
Thanks for stopping by.